Hey friend, do you want to offer meaningful learning solutions that create behavior change, fit in the flow of work, and yield real results for your nonprofit? If yes, this is the podcast for you. Join me as I explore instructional design and leadership development best practices, as well as change management, belonging, and influence. If we haven't met yet, I'm Heather, and I've been in your shoes. I'm a learning and development consultant and founder of Skill Masters Market. Before starting my business, I led learning and leadership development initiatives for a large national nonprofit. I know what it's like to need to develop your staff quickly and effectively and to build the relationships and cut through the organizational layers to be successful. And I'm bringing all of that to you in this podcast. So block your calendar, turn off your Teams or Slack chat, and let's dive in. It's learning for good. If you have young kids, you may have spent some quality time with Cocomelon or Bluey recently, right? If your kids are a bit older, you may remember the Mickey Mouse cartoons from their childhood. Why am I talking about this? What do these shows have in common? They are using animation to teach valuable lessons to our kids. Sometimes it's shape and colors. Sometimes it's letters and numbers. Sometimes it's problem-solving skills. Maybe it's sharing. Maybe it's getting along with others. But no matter the show, they are embedding the lesson into the cartoon. But then we grow up, and our shows aren't so much educational as they are entertaining. And we forget about the benefits of animation in learning. And that's why I wanted today's guest, Calvin Dantley, to join me and share his experience with animation and training. Calvin is a nonprofit L&D leader and a freelance animator. So he has so much good stuff to share with us today. And I can't wait. Let's dive in. It's Learning for Good. Calvin has worked in business development roles for 15 years as a sales rep, manager, and trainer. Over the past 5 years, he has focused on applying his knowledge of business operations to help organizations improve the quality of their training, making training more accessible for staff at all levels, and using data to show the impact ongoing training has on organizational effectiveness. Calvin, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to learn all about animation. I know you have a lot of experience in this, and I can't wait to hear more about your career journey and how you got started with animation in the first place, not to mention all the great tips that I'm sure you're going to share with us as nonprofit L&D leaders and what we can do to get started with animation. So, Calvin, one of the first things I always ask my guests, I want to get to know you. I want my audience to get to know you. Tell us a little bit about your career journey. How did you get to where you are, and why is animation important to you?
Yeah, so I started my career in sales. And so for the 10 years, I was in a lot of different roles related to sales. So whether it was an independent contributor or a sales manager or trainer. And really throughout that period of time, I learned unofficially a lot of the things that we do in learning and development, asking the right questions, understanding your customer personas. We call them customer personas in sales, and L&D, it's learner personas, right? And so I learned a lot about that stuff really informally. And then as I got into more like sales enablement roles where I was doing training, started applying the basics of adult learning principles. And once I got a little bit of a taste for that, I was hooked and really decided to jump headfirst into the world of learning and development. And I went back to school to get a formal education in it because I felt like I was just guessing a lot of the time. And so once I got that education, then it was really just trying to figure out what area in learning and development was the right fit for me. I had started messing around with some animation with the sales training I was doing closer to the end of my time in that role. And it was just a natural fit. I liked to draw when I was a little kid. I've always thought of myself as a creative person. And when I figured out that there was a connection between animation and using it to enhance a learner's ability to retain information or make the learning more dynamic, I was like, this is it. I'm all in. Yeah. So that's how I got here.
I love that. And you're really using things throughout your career, right? You're using what you learned in sales. You're using your own creativity and interest that you just naturally have and now you're using your L&D experience and education, and you're bringing all of that together by providing animation in training. So how did you first get started with animation?
In a previous role, one of the sales reps that reported to me, we had a project where he was going to try and create a small training to just show some of the other salespeople how to do a task on the computer. And he found this cool tool called Powtoons, and he showed it to me, and we messed with it a little bit, but it just wasn't a fit at that time. And when I went back to school, it resurfaced again. So I was like, all right, let me look a little bit deeper at this tool and find more about how it works. But then after I graduated, COVID-19 hit and everything stopped. And so what I actually ended up doing during the quarantine and the time that we spent at home was I was in Powtoons every day, and I was creating these little videos, taking the sales training content that I had previously facilitated and taught salespeople with, and just turning it into 30-second, 1-minute short videos using the animation tool Powtoons. And that was my first kind of really deep dive into a tool that allowed me to animate and create movement on the screen and really tell a story that helped people learn.
So you just jumped right in, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes that's the best way to learn.
Going to get wet. You might as well go swimming.
I love that. So thinking about my audience in particular and Learning for Good audience, they're nonprofit L&D leaders. They're people creating training inside of nonprofits. Why would a nonprofit use animation in their training? What is that value that it's adding?
And this is my personal opinion, but I think there's a lot of truth to it in terms of when we think about our experiences with different facilitators, especially for instructor-led training, sometimes our biases create barriers to learning. And what I've found is that with the animation, you're not so much worried about who's delivering the information because you're looking at a cartoon. And we all have, like you started with, very fond memories of cartoons. We're not thinking, is the cartoon blue or yellow? We're thinking, is the cartoon funny? Is it saying something that relates to me? And so I think when it comes to why an organization would want to use animation is because, depending on the topic, we don't want them focusing on the person delivering the information. We want them focusing on the content itself. So that's one of the things that I think is really important to consider. Also, instructor-led training is not always accessible. I mean, that makes it very challenging for staff in more entry-level or frontline roles to get access to ongoing training. And so with animation, you don't need to set up a specific day and time for them to show up and get the information. You can put it into a video format and have them watch it. And that's a way for them to get some of that ongoing training that we know that everybody benefits from having. I think the last thing that I would say is probably it shortens the time necessary for content delivery, and it allows for more discussion amongst participants. So I've done trainings in the past where we started it out with an animated video around a controversial topic or something that we really wanted people to think about and consider. And then instead of during the actual workshop, instead of talking about the content, we just talked about their thoughts and had them reflect on the training. So instead of spending 30 minutes delivering content and 30 minutes discussing, we watched a short 5-minute video, and then we had a really robust conversation for about 45 to 50 minutes. And so we were able to allow more voices into the conversation, dive deeper into the topics, and really pull out some of those really good nuggets that you want from that kind of learning experience.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It reminds me of the systems change video. I'll have to try to find that and drop a link to that in the show notes. But it's a short video that starts to explain systems and how sometimes the problem you think you're solving, it can lead to other problems just because of the way systems work. And that's a great conversation starter if you're talking about systems thinking or systems change. So it's a great example.
Yeah, just a way to jumpstart everybody's mind, get them thinking differently or thinking outside the box about a particular topic, and then create space for more conversation once they have those thoughts.
Yeah.
I think we've all been in places where the discussion is good and then the timer runs out and you're like, oh, I wish we had 5 more minutes.
Right, that's a good sign.
5 minutes back.
Do you wish you could connect with other nonprofit learning and development leaders? I know what it feels like to want someone to bounce ideas off of and to learn from. Someone who really understands you and your work. Imagine if you could have a simple way to meet people in the field, ask questions, and share information. That's why I created the Nonprofit Learning and Development Collective, where nonprofit, L&D, talent management, and DEI leaders can connect with each other quickly and easily in a virtual space. When you join this community, you will walk away with a new, diverse, and powerful network and a sounding board for your staff development needs. So if you're ready to exchange ideas and collaborate with your peers, come join the Nonprofit L&D Collective.
So what are some ways that a nonprofit can use animation in their training? You gave the example just now, right, of watch a video, have some discussion. But what are some ways that a nonprofit can do this?
I guess before I answer the question, I think one of the things that is important, I think tone is often a concern when it comes to animation. And that's why people don't, because they think of the cartoons and they think of, well, is it too colorful? Is it going to trivialize my message because of how it looks on the screen? And animation is much more than just cartoons and a bunch of colorful characters running around the screen. It's really about just creating movement, visual movement to keep people engaged. And there's actually 5 different types of animation. So when you think about matching the tone with the type of animation, you have a ton of options. And what I would say is between our traditional animation that you described earlier, 2D, 3D animation, stop motion, and motion graphics, those are all options that you can find something that fits your tone. And so onboarding is a great place for animation. I've seen it used as introduction videos where you're explaining a complex topic really quickly, and then the learner goes through and does more of a deep dive with either a facilitator or more resources that they learn from. Reoccurring videos as reminders to staff about best practices is a place where it's used a lot. There's some new technology. We're all talking about AI these days, and some of these animators are actually incorporating AI into their platforms. So instead of having to create completely from scratch, you have the ability to say, hey, I want to do a reminder video for staff on how to avoid slips, trips, and falls. And because it's such a common topic, the AI generator can pull that together for you really quick, and you can send out a 5-minute video or a 2-minute video to all your team members. The last thing, and I think is really unique to nonprofit, is going to be sharing community impact with donors. And that's a great place where instead of sending them either a spreadsheet of all the numbers or a one pager, an animated video is a great way to engage those individuals and show them the impact versus just telling them about the impact. And so that's a place I absolutely would say, if you're wondering where to start with animation, that's probably a place to really consider.
Yeah, those are some great examples and great ways to bring in animation. And like you said, there are a lot of different ways for animation to show up because it is about that movement on the screen. I've seen a lot of great community impact videos, the storytelling style videos using some form of animation. So I think those are great examples and great ways for us to start to imagine how we might use animation in training. But with anything new, we often face challenges. So what barriers have you seen? And how can a nonprofit overcome those barriers?
We talked a little bit about the perception of animation and wondering if the tone could match the content that they want to deliver. But I think beyond that, cost and skill set are often the barriers that I see as well. Cost, especially in a nonprofit, if there's limited resources, that's something that may limit a person's ability to jump in and either start learning a tool or make the commitment to get that next level subscription and try it out. And then skill set. It takes time and patience to learn how to use the tools. And often we're really short on time or competing priorities pulled in a bunch of different directions. And so to set aside time to say, I'm going to learn how to animate and really do it well, it's an investment. And those are the things that I often come up as challenges. And so those are the barriers that I've seen. And then if you're saying you don't have the time to learn the skill, then the other option is outsourcing, which we all know is there's a cost to that. And so if you're looking for an experienced contractor, those rates are $40 to $50 an hour. And so if you can't allocate those kind of resources, it does limit your ability to use animation to really take your learning experiences to the next level. What I would recommend as a solution is if you have young people that are interested in creative professions in your nonprofit, like animation, people that are interested in music, writing, photography, or videography, those are all skill sets that translate really well to this space because Those are individuals who are really good at visualizing something before it's on the page. And so tapping into your younger demographics in your nonprofit, if you've got a membership base or if you run programs, that's a great way to engage folks and allow them to get some part-time or project experience with some animation. And I've actually started teaching some young people at the YMCA, introducing them to these roles. And obviously not everybody's going to want to continue with it, but if you identify a couple of individuals who have a strong interest and they want to develop their skills, I think you do two things there. You give a young person a meaningful career experience very early on, and then you get some of the younger voices involved in the conversation around how to best connect with your audience. And so they will oftentimes, and it's happened to me, say, this animation doesn't really land because you've got the old phone where you pick it up off the hook and and you're dialing the numbers versus a cell phone in there, or this doesn't represent all of our demographics because you don't have anybody in a wheelchair or you don't have anybody that has any type of mobility challenges. And so depending on the topic, animation does open you up to being able to have that kind of representation. And it's a lot of times the young people that point it out. And so getting their eyes and their voices involved in that will absolutely add value to the learning experiences that you can create with animation.
I love that you brought that up. I know a lot of my listeners are inside of youth serving nonprofits. And so just thinking through how can we tap into that as a resource, and one, the nonprofit benefits, but the young people are benefiting and learning a lifelong skill as well. So what's one thing that my nonprofit L&D listeners can do now to get started with animation? I know it can be a little bit overwhelming to try to figure out where to start. What do I need to do? What's one thing, you have one kind of task for them? What's one thing they can do right away?
Yeah, I think I had mentioned Powtoons as a platform, but the other one that I really a lot is Vyond. Both of them have a free level account that you can set up and really just start tinkering, right? Someone on your marketing team might already be familiar with them, but you won't know until you ask. So I would say that would be the first start, is set up an account or one of the free accounts, start messing around with the animation, push all the buttons, pull the levers and see what you can create. And yeah, give it a shot. Ask somebody on your marketing team if they have experience with it, because that is also a place where folks are familiar with it. And I'm also happy to share any information with your listeners about the Creative Careers Workshop series if they're interested in engaging young people and introducing them to creative careers like animation and tasking them with projects that'll elevate the mission of the organization. So having access to a tech center or a computer lab is really important to make it work, but it's absolutely something that is not a far reach away.
So step one, go find a free trial and play around, right? Start practicing.
Go play. Go have some fun.
That's right. Just like you jumped it right in the beginning as well, right? Jump in, you start practicing, figure out what works and what doesn't work, and you continue to hone that skill. Mm-hmm. Well, Calvin, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing more about animation and training.
No problem. I'm happy to do it. Thank you for inviting me. This has been great.
Now, I love Calvin's definition that animation is simply adding movement to your training. That makes it feel so much more accessible than what sometimes we think about when we think of animation. So I have to know, are you using animation in training already? Or is your nonprofit using it in some other way, maybe in marketing or fundraising, that storytelling piece? I'd love to hear about it. I'd love to see it. And I'm sure your colleagues would too. So come share a video with us in the nonprofit L&D Collective. I'll drop a link in the show notes. All right, I'll see you next time on Learning for Good.
Hey friend, was this episode helpful for you? Did you like what you heard? Do you want more content like this? Here are three things you can do. Hit subscribe, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. Share this episode with a colleague. This means so much to me personally. I read every review, but it also helps me learn what content you like most so I can create more of what you want. All right, turn that Teams or Slack chat back on when you're ready, and I'll see you next time on Learning for Good.